This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Do you think heat waves are coming more often and sticking around longer? You are not wrong. The first global study of heat during climate change is out. In prestigious Science Advances, the title is Anthropogenic Forcing Has Increased the Risk of Longer Traveling and Slower Moving Large Contiguous Heat Waves. This is information you need to know. We reached co-author Wei Zhang, assistant professor at Utah State University from Logan, Utah. Dr. Zhang, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Years ago, heat waves happened, but they did not last that long. The government of India just released a warning to expect extreme heat lasting 10 to 20 days at a time. Why did your team decide to study changes in heat waves?
So our team has been studying heat waves for a long time. In particular, we want to study the intensity, frequency, and the underlying mechanisms of heat waves across the globe. This study, we were talking about the contiguous heat waves across the globe. So we were checking the spatial temporal propagation of those heat waves. And we come up with a very nice story that focuses on the moving speed, traveling distance, and the lifespans of the heat waves. Yeah, so I think because, you know, the heat wave is has such major impact on our communities, on public health, and in particular those people who do not have the access to AC and to cooling centers, and those heat waves are dangerous.
And it goes well beyond human health, which is serious, but we also have what other things? We have things like wildfire risk, and what else were you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, the heat waves can not only influence public health, yes, I totally agree, they could also influence the wildfire risk and air quality. So those heat waves can influence the ecology systems, has not only impact on the human society, but also on the environment.
How do we know heat waves are lasting longer than they used to, even in the 1980s?
So the study we did is that we look at reanalysis data. We look at, you know, the estimates of the real climate system. We call it reanalysis data, which is a combination of observation and modeling output. That's the best we can get. We look at three data sets, including the data from ECMWF, which is in the European Center for Mid-Range Weather Forecasting. They have the EI-5 data, and we also look at the NASA's MERA 2 reanalysis data and the NOAA's NSEP 2 data. So we first checked that those heat waves from those three data sets, and then we look at that database we created by using the three data sets, then we calculate the trend in the moving speed of those heat waves. And we found a very significant decrease in trend since 1980. We found that trend, then we also look at the modern output. You know, we look at numerical models. We found similar results. So that signal is pretty strong and significant.
In 2021, a deadly heat dome settled over the Pacific Northwest. People huddled indoors and hundreds did die. And the awful heat seemed to just stall overhead. Is this a new phenomenon? And is there evidence global warming is part cause of slow-moving heat?
Yeah, so when you look at our results, that snowing down is almost consistent across the globe on land regions. In order to find that signal in the anthropogenic forcing, we look at experiments from the SMIP-6. We look at the experiments that when we have all the forcings, including greenhouse gases and the natural forcings such as solar irradiance, volcano eruptions. So when we have all that forcings during the historic period of time, that decreasing trend in the moving speed of the heat waves can be reproduced. But if we only put that natural forcing in the model, that trend disappears. And if we put the greenhouse gases into this model, that decreasing trend in the moving speed of the heat waves shows up again. So we are pretty confident that the decreasing trend in the moving speed of the heat waves is largely caused by anthropogenic forcing.
What do you mean when you say heat waves propagate? Does that mean spreading in space and time, or can one heat wave actually split up to become several?
No, so the propagation means that moving of a heat wave from one region to another. The beautiful thing about this study is that, you know, we could actually track that propagation of the heat waves, because usually, you know, we talk about heat wave, for example, the one you mentioned in the Pacific Northwest, you know, we have that region of heat wave. Basically, it means that, you know, that temperature is extremely high across that region. So we're looking at a few days or so, we define a heat wave there. But for our study, we actually track that propagation or the moving of the heat wave. Because we are using that 3D tracking algorithm for the heat waves, we look at that in each spatial grid, how would that spatial grid with that heat wave could propagate to the next day and to the next region. And we could track that during a historic period of time. So we can have an inventory of the heat waves that traveling around the globe land region. So we could have that information, you know, about the moving speed, about the traveling distance, and about the lifespan of a heat wave.
Heat waves can drift across whole continents. So what drives their motion, and do they generally go from west to east, as the majority of weather systems do?
Yes, the majority of that traveling is from the west to the east, but there are also some other traveling directions. For example, for the United States, some heat waves that could travel from the south to north due to that a climate system called the Bermuda High, which is, you know, the subtropical high weather system, that very high pressure system could shift from west to east and can move from north to south, from south to north. And that could need the heat waves to travel from south to north. So, but in majority, those type of heat waves are traveling from the west to east because of digestions in the mid-latitude region. Because, you know, when we try to understand what drives the propagation of the heat waves, we found out that those high-frequency waves in the climate system, those waves are kind of weakening. And those waves are guided by, we call the jet streams, you know, very high-speed wind systems in the upper troposphere, you know. So those jet streams are, when we look at the wind speed, is also decreasing. And those jet streams move from the west to the east. To understand the mechanisms of those propagation heat waves, we look at that we call the air kinetic energy, which is basically, you know, that driving force for those atmospheric waves and also the jet streams. We identified some decreasing trend in those waves and in the jet streams based on historical data. So we used that mechanism to explain the slowing moving speed of the heat waves.
In this paper, you and your colleagues make a first attempt at describing changes in global heat waves. Did you find a one-size-fits-all golden rule of heat waves, or were there a lot of differences between continents and latitudes?
Yes, they are regional difference. As you can see from our study, that when we look at this trend, or, you know, the overall trend in terms of the moving speed that's decreasing and the intensity is increasing, the traveling distance are increasing, but there are some regional discrepancies. You know, for example, there are some trends that's stronger in a period of time, but that trend could be decreasing a little bit for another decade or so. There are definitely some regional discrepancies, but you look at that signal across the globe, that trend is really strong and robust.
How big is the average heat wave, and how big can they get?
As you could see from our study, that we definitely look at the accumulated areas. So actually, in this study, we more focus on those heat waves that has a accumulated region around 1 million square kilometer. So we kind of focus on those heat waves. You know, the heat waves could even be larger than that because those heat waves can propagate across the globe.
Diagrams in the paper suggest the largest, most intense changes in heat waves are not in the tropics, where it is already hot, but in the temperate zones of North America and Eurasia, plus a bits of Australia and the southern tip of South America. We know there are serious heat waves across the Sahel in Africa right now, with countries like Burkina Faso going above human tolerance, even in the shade. Why don't these tropical areas show big changes on the maps in your paper?
We kind of look at the historical data. Those tropical regions, yes, they definitely are influenced by heat waves already because of tropical is basically has a higher temperature than the others. And for our study, you know, we look at those data sets that, you know, we look at the three data sets, and including SMWF, including MERA2, including NSEP2 data, and all those data sets are pointing to the same direction. Of course, it's like pretty common for mainland region, but, you know, in the tropics, yes, they also have very strong heat waves.
You are with the Plant, Soils, and Climate Department at Utah State. Please explain the feedback from dry soil to hotter heat events.
Yes, my department, we have basically three sections. You mentioned plant, soils, and climate. We have faculties that's working on plant science, and we have faculties working on soil moisture, and we have faculties working on climate dynamics modeling. And I am one of them who works on the climate dynamics and climate modeling. So the heat waves or the extreme temperature that coupling with soil moisture, that has been reported already over the past years or so. So that soil moisture could really provide that feedback to the heat wave. They are actually coupling. You know, the extreme temperature could be enhanced by that dry soil, and that dry soil could even feed back to the heat waves. It's a fully coupled processes. This could also, because when you think about the impacts, you know, the coupling of the heat wave and the soil moisture, because, for example, the Western U.S., which is already entering kind of mega drought condition, and in particular in the 2021-2022, you know, the Western U.S. was under severe drought. And that drought condition or that dry soil, you know, could be further enhanced the heat waves, and the heat waves could also feed back to the dry soil. So these coupling processes could have a really strong impact on the societies, you know, including, for example, wildfires. And they could damage the agriculture. They could also exacerbate air pollution. So all those, you know, climate systems are coupled and connected.
How did you test whether these changes in heat waves were driven by human-induced warming instead of just natural cycles?
In the climate science, if you want to make some arguments on that detection attribution, we have to use global climate models, because only these models can help you to tease out that impact of natural variability and external force signal or anthropogenic force signal. It's still pretty challenging to argue that this trend was caused by natural variability and non or external force signal and non. You know, so here in our study, we use a multi-ensemble of climate model experiments to do the detection attribution analysis. So we found that only we prescribe the greenhouse gases in those model simulations, we could reproduce that decreasing trend. But we cannot see that natural rapidity doesn't play a role here. But what we can see is that that astrogeometric forcing did play a dominant role in driving this decreasing trend.
This study is an assessment of heat waves over the past 40 years. You do not make predictions for the next 40, but given what we now know, do you have ideas on what to expect if we continue with the record high levels of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere?
Yeah, so that's what we're expecting. If the greenhouse gases emission continues and we don't have actions that take in to mitigate greenhouse gases, I think that those trend is going to be continuing. So based on the model experiments, based on the results we have put together in the paper, that's what we're expecting.
Do you think the changes in heat waves can be reversed, or are we stuck with these new hot spells?
I think that depends on how our society work together to mitigate carbon dioxide or the greenhouse gas, or we call it carbon pollution. Also, there are many projects that's going on to advocate for, you know, carbon sequestration technologies. If our international society, our different countries could work together, come up with a great plan, you know, to mitigate carbon dioxide, I think we still have some great hopes, you know, to maybe reduce the trend or even overturn the trend. But that depends on how much efforts we can do for the mitigation, for the carbon sequestration.
As we wrap up here, what will you be working on next?
So right now, I am working a lot on the climate adaptation science. You know, of course, I'm a climate modeler, and I do a lot of work on climate dynamics, climate modeling. But I am also working a lot on climate adaptation science. I'm instructing the climate adaptation science program here at Utah State University since 2021. And we are more educating our students to develop that actionable science. For example, if we know that the heat wave is going to increase, how could we work with the stakeholders in cities or in rural areas that, you know, to come up with some plan to mitigate that heat and to better adapt ourselves to this heat? So, for example, you know, we have been working on a few projects to adapt to extreme heat, to maybe bring trees to urban areas or the other disadvantaged communities, you know, to have that trees, you know, to using the evaporative cooling to reduce the environmental temperature. And we engage the citizens to be aware of this extreme heat. For example, last year I led a project in Salt Lake City, you know, to engage citizens to do an urban heat mapping project. That project was funded by NOAA. So we engaged more than 40 volunteers to measure their real temperature in different locations of the Salt Lake City. And I think that's really to help those communities better prepare for this extreme heat. And I do a lot of work with USDA, you know, to bring in trees to the communities. Yeah, I think that's some work I'm working on. I'm still working on a lot of work on climate modeling, you know, to simulating drought, heat waves, and I'm also doing work on climate adaptation and mitigation right now.
That sounds like really interesting outreach work that you are doing. From Utah State University, we've been speaking with Dr. Wei Zhang. He is co-author of a revealing new paper about changes to heat waves as the world warms. The study published in Science Advances is Anthropogenic Forcing has increased the risk of longer traveling and slower moving large contiguous heat waves. Find links to follow up in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.org. Wei Zhang, thank you for helping our listeners understand this.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.